destruction power. With my Bible,
I can defeat the devil.
Every day. This is my Bible. And my Bible is
the Word of God.
And God's Word is the revelation of His will.
Whatever says I am,
that's what I am.
Whatever says I can do,
that's what I can do.
Whatever says I have,
I claim it.
I claim those
7,420 promises
God made
to me.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord.
There was a man who actually did count. He went through the Bible and he counted. And he did so many promises, counted all the promises that God made to man. And he counted and found 7,420 promises. This was a school teacher. I'm glad he did it because I wouldn't have gone through all that. Lord, I'm telling you. But that's I thank God for men of God like that who would do things like that. And I know that some of y'all haven't even claimed about five of them yet. And there's 7,420 of them. But hopefully after today, you will begin to do that. You will begin to start claiming God's promises. My wife, now this is why I appreciate her. She's just always honest. You know, the last couple of weeks I've been beating y'all up. You know, I've been telling you to take responsibility for yourselves and stop playing the blame game. And my wife says, whenever I have to preach one of those type of messages, my wife says, honey, now that you've given us all our vegetables, can you give us a little dessert? How many of y'all get tired of being told what you're doing wrong? I know I do. But see, God, He doesn't just like to tell us what we're doing wrong. But He does have His reason for telling us what we're doing wrong, because He wants to get you to the place where when you're doing right, He can bless you.
Amen.
So that's why He tells you what you're doing wrong, so you can change it, so that you can get blessed. Well, today we're going to be teaching on a new series, how to get what you really want from God. How to get what you really want from God. How many of y'all want some stuff from God? I raise my hand up high. You know, I mean, hey, go ahead, Halloween. I need to raise two hands. I want some stuff from God. See, ain't no use me you getting religious and talking about, well, I just want to serve the Lord. I don't need anything from Him. Listen, I want to serve the Lord. I love Him. I didn't come into this because of what I can get from Him. He had already given me so many blessings when I came into it. I just wanted to serve Him after that. But I tell you, because He said I can get some stuff from Him, I'm not going to be a fool and say, well, it's okay. No, I'm going to take it.
Amen.
Just thinking about yesterday, I was talking to my supervisor. You know, she came in with me yesterday when I was working, you know, because she's feeling all sorry for me. And, you know, she had me in her office, and she says, you know, Troy, she says, and she was talking about the top guy in our office. He says he feels so bad about what you're having to go through. They want to write you out a monetary award. Now, at first I said, you know what? I'm just doing my job. I have to do this. If things are going wrong, I got to be here for it. I said, but if y'all want to give me the reward, I'll take it. I mean, I'm no fool now. I'm not going to say, yes, I am doing my job. And I mean, whether they paid me or not, I'm still doing my job. But if they're going to offer me the reward, guess what? Pastor Troy is no fool. And so God, it's the same way with God. God has said that He wants to do some things for us. And He wants to bless us. And so we need to stop fooling around, talking about being all religious and being all high and mighty, talking about, I don't want this, I don't need anything, all I want to do is just, if I can just be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord, I'll be fine. I would rather be a gatekeeper in the house of the Lord than to go to hell, but I still want some more than just being a gatekeeper, praise God.
Amen.
I want to be closer to the throne. I want some stuff. And so I'm going to learn how to get some stuff. How about you?
Amen.
Well, turn with me to Psalm 37. Oh, and by the way, we're going to be putting this in the book form, how to get what you really want from God. Psalm 37. We're going to begin at verse 4. And it's up on the screen for those of you who forgot to bring your Bibles. But I encourage you to bring your Bible to church because we are in a Bible teaching ministry. Praise God. Amen. Psalm 37. Psalm 37, verse 4, it says, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." Amen. Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
God wants to give you the desires of your heart. The only thing he's asking for you to do is to delight yourself in him. If you delight yourself in the Lord, he will give you the desires of your heart. To delight, that word here comes from the Hebrew word anag, which means to be soft or pliable. It means to, you know, allow God to change you. If you have wrong desires, then be soft, be pliable so that God can change your desires. But it also means to be of dainty heart, to be pampered, to be happy about, take exquisite delight, or to make merry over, making sport of. In other words, God wants you to be happy. He wants you to be merry, but he wants you to be happy in the right thing, which is him. See, material blessings will never satisfy you apart from God. Praise God.
Amen.
You see that happening in your own neighborhood. You know, you've heard of the saying, keeping up with the Joneses. Mm-hmm. You know, Mr. Jones down the street buys a new car. You got to get a better car because you're getting jealous. Oh, what are you doing with that new car? Mr. Jones builds a swimming pool. You got to build a better swimming pool. You're never happy. I think Pastor Christie had a statement, something about how we buy stuff to impress people that we don't even care about. You know, see, the thing is you're never satisfied, you're never happy with material things apart from God. So God wants you to first find true happiness in him. Amen? When you are connected to God, then all the other desires that you have will be given to you. God wants to do things for you. God, let me tell you something. God is not a stingy God.
Amen.
God loves you. He cares dearly for you. I meant to have Rose come up and give a testimony before the service, before I got to speaking. And I don't know if I said anything about you, Rose. I'm so sorry if I missed you, baby. Rose is she's like a daughter to me. I love her so much. And Christopher, I love them. But Rose, we've been praying for months for Rose. Even before she left Rhode Island, then she came back, and now Rose has gotten her a job.
Amen.
Now, y'all know, in this economy, and especially here in Rhode Island, where the job rate is higher than most other places in the country, for somebody to get a job has to be Jesus.
Amen.
Praise God. So, but the thing is when you delight yourself in the Lord, he will bless you. Now, I like something that John R. Rice once said. He said, every Christian ought to get his heart's desires and his prayers in accord. Anything you have a right to want, you have a right to pray for it. If you do not have a right to pray for it, then it is wrong to want it. About any particular matter, the Christian ought to ask for what he wants or quit wanting it. In other words, if you want something and you know that God doesn't want you to have it, you ain't got no business wanting it. Now, there's a lot of things God wants you to have, more than some religious people will ever tell you. There's just a few things he doesn't want you to have, and those are the things that he knows will hurt you. I want you to think about something. In the Garden of Eden, there were many trees. There were all kinds of trees. There was even a tree called the tree of life. God never forbid Adam and Eve to touch that tree. There was only one stinky little tree. God said, don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God wasn't being stingy. God was generous. He gave them all kinds of trees that they could eat from. All kinds of plants. All kinds of animals to hang out with. He just said, don't touch this one little tree. God is a generous God. He is so generous. He is not parsimonious. He's not stingy. So you have got to understand the generosity of God in order to receive whatever you really want from Him. If you begin to build your faith and understand that God is generous, then you will not want the wrong things. You'll want the right things, and God will give them to you because you are first delighting yourself in Him. So, how do we go about getting these wonderful things from God? Well, let me get my daughter Terry mad at me because she said, Daddy, don't be giving us no more of those seven-step sermons. So, so I'm not giving you seven steps. I'm giving you eight. The first thing you need to do is check your motive for wanting the thing that you claim to want. Number one, check your motive for wanting the thing that you claim to want. Motive makes a difference. But the first thing I want you to remember is that God is generous. He says in Psalm 145, 16, thou openest thy hand and satisfies the desire of every living thing. God opens His hand to satisfy your desire. You need to know this because this is where we're going to get into motive in a moment. But you need to understand this. God opens His hand to satisfy your desire. He wants to give you. He wants to bless you. He wants to do wonderful things for you. He is a generous God. As a matter of fact, I'm going to even go and become controversial. I'm going to make a controversial statement. Are y'all ready for my controversial statement? Now, a lot of religious people ain't going to tell you this. And some people will get mad when you say this. I mean, I don't understand how people will get mad. I would think people would be happy. But do you know that you can get anything you want from God? Do you know that you can get anything you want from God? You can get anything. Well, Pastor Troy, I think that's just blasphemy. You just need to prove that in the scriptures. Okie dokie. Again, Matthew chapter 18, verse 19. Says, again I say to you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything, say anything.
Amen.
It's right there in the scriptures. That if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything, say anything.
Anything.
Say that they shall ask.
That they shall ask.
Guess what God's promises. He said, it shall be done for them of my Father, which is in heaven. You can ask God for anything. Look at this. And whatsoever you shall ask, this is John chapter 14, verses 13 and 14. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, this is Jesus talking. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, look at that word, whatsoever. Say whatsoever.
Whatsoever.
You can get whatever you want. Whatsoever you ask. That's unlimited. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, say my name.
Amen.
We're going to talk about that, why he put that my name in a minute. Remember, first step, what's the first step? No, what's the first step we're talking, what are we talking about? Check your motive for wanting the thing that you claim to want. So, but whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything, say anything.
Anything.
If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Jesus said, you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, John 15, 7, I'm going to read that from a couple of modern translations. Apostle Colin Urquhart has a new translation called the Truth New Testament. I've never known a charismatic Bible teacher to put out a translation of the scriptures before, but praise God. He says, his version says in John 15:7, by contrast, if you continue to live at one with me, and my words continue to live in you, you can ask for anything you want. Say anything.
Amen.
You can ask for anything you want, and it will be given you. Woo! Man, is that unbelievable? It's for the mind who's been taught religious stuff, that is hard to cut to grasp. The ESV version says, then you can ask for anything you want. God's Word translation says, then ask for anything you want, and it will be yours. Say anything.
Amen.
You can get anything you want from God. You really can. But the first thing you got to do is check your motive. Check your motive for wanting the thing that you claim to want. See, the problem with a lot of people is they want things from God for the W-R-O-N-G reasons. They want things from God for the wrong reasons. Well, Lord, I want this. I want my body to be healed so I can go to the club and start boogieing down. Boogie down. Boogie down, baby. They want to be healed. Oh, God wants to heal you. God delights in healing physically, emotionally, delivering you from demonic oppression. God delights in doing things like that. But what are our reasons for wanting health and deliverance and things like that? We have to check our motive. God, you know, some people want to prosper. They want financial prosperity. Why? Is it because you want to keep up with the Joneses? Well, God, I'm supposed to be a blessing. I'm supposed to be blessed, and my neighbor down the street, he's a Mormon, and he ain't even living right, and he's got better stuff than I got. You should prosper me, God. No, that's not the reason you receive prosperity. What do you want to receive prosperity for? How about that missionary over there in Zimbabwe or Mumbaku or whatever? I'm just making up names of countries now. Or somewhere like that who doesn't have any financial assistance, and you want to be used by God as a channel to be a blessing to that person. Isn't that a good motive? Yes, that's an excellent motive. How about that instead of God prosper me so that I can look good in front of my friends? You know, there was I heard about a friend of mine, a pastor friend of mine, was telling me about when he went to a large charismatic church out in California. And so the pastor, you know, introduced him to a woman in his church who had just purchased a nice large mansion. And so, you know, they needed a place to sleep, so he introduced them to her, and she took them over to their house. And so, you know, they're walking around the house, and she's showing them all around the house and how beautiful it is, and they're like, oh, praise God, this is beautiful. Showing them all the rooms and everything. And so, you know, the man, you know, he's kind of bold. He says, so, okay, so where do I get to sleep at? She said, sleep? She said, I don't let nobody sleep here. She said, I purchased this house, and I like to take people through it so I can let them see what God has done, but I don't let anybody stay here. I'm like, what kind of foolishness is that? So, you're expecting God to give you a nice house, but you don't let nobody sleep in it? You want God to bless you with a brand new car, but you ain't going to give nobody a ride to church in it? I remember one time when at a church I was at, where I was one of the elders in the church, and we was having an elders meeting, and we were all, you know, it was one of those churches where we believe strongly in financial prosperity, and I still do. I just believe in a balanced version of it now, I did believe in a balanced version of it then. I thought we were teaching some extremes back in those days, So one of my friends, we were all talking about what we believe in God for, and so one of the elders was saying, "Yeah, I'm believing God for this nice brand new car." He named off the name of the car. It was a well known car. I think it was a Mercedes or something like that. "I'm believing God for this brand new Mercedes, whatever." And so they said, "Troy, what do you believe in God for?" I said, "I'm believing God for a nice van so I can be able to give somebody a ride to church." And everybody just started laughing. But one brother came over to me and gave me a high five. He said, That's it, Brother Troy." But see, we got to check our motives. See, I didn't care about a Mercedes. I believed God for a van so that I could be able to pick up more people and bring them so they can hear the word of the Lord. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. So you got to check your motives for wanting the thing that you want. God wants to bless you. God will bless you with that Mercedes. But if you can't take little Marie to the church because you're scared that she's going to throw up in your car, then you don't need that Mercedes. Praise God. Amen. And she's going to mess up my cushions. I don't want no baby in my car. No, please. You don't need the car then. If you're going to worship the car, be careful about worshiping God's blessings. Amen?
Amen.
You know, some of y'all want your spouses to be saved. I just want him to be saved so he can start coming to church and I can stop looking so bad at the women's meetings. Everybody else's husbands are blessed and saved. How come I ain't acting right? The wrong motive. God wants to save your husband too. It's his will that all men be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth. Amen?
Amen.
It's his will he's not willing that any should perish, but that all come to repentance. But you're asking for the salvation of your spouse or your children. You know, I would just want that boy to get saved so he can stop driving me up the wall. No, that's the wrong motive. You should want your spouse, your children to be saved so that they don't go to hell, and because God desires their salvation. Praise God.
Amen.
And for you parents that give up on your children, don't you dare do that.
Amen.
Don't you give up on your children. Don't you give up on Ishmael. We're not giving up on him. You hear me? God's going to bring that boy into the kingdom.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. God's going to bring your wayward children into the kingdom.
Amen.
Just make sure your motive for wanting them into the kingdom is right, and God will do the rest.
Amen.
See, in the scriptures, in James chapter 4, turn there with me, you will see that people wanted some things, but they wanted some things for the wrong reason. James chapter 4, begin at verse 1. Let me turn there. For those of you who forgot to bring your Bibles, we have it up on the board for you. It says, "From whence came wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lust that war in your members? Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not because ye ask not." Some of you don't have things because you're just not asking God for them. God's not going to give them to you unless you first ask.
Yeah.
But then, verse 3 says, "Ye ask and receive not." Why? "Because ye ask amiss that ye may consume it upon your lusts." See, some people ask for the wrong motive. God wants to give you anything that you want. You can get what you really and truly want from God. But first, you've got to check your motives for wanting it. There's a difference between a sinful lust and a godly, heartfelt desire. See, if my lust is to impress my friends, to make myself look good in front of the girls or the boys, to make me look like I'm so super spiritual. Some people want prosperity so people can see the hand of the Lord upon them and they can look more spiritual in front of everybody else. They can look like they're people of great faith. My faith brought me this. I mean, you know, we often forget that it's God. God is our object of our faith, not our faith itself. And we'll talk about that more. But people miss the real reason why they can get anything from God. Some people just have sinful lust, and all they want is for God to meet their lust. Now, you know, there's a saying that God will meet your needs and not your greeds. That's only half true. God will meet your needs, and no, he will not meet your greeds. But God will meet your needs and your godly desires. Amen?
Amen.
It's not just, he is not limited to just meeting your needs alone. He wants to meet your godly desires. But no, it is true that he will not meet your greeds. You know, there's people who even go to an even worse extreme. God will meet your needs and not your wants. That is totally untrue. God will meet your needs and the things you want if you have the right motive for wanting them. Praise God.
Amen.
Now, you know, we can use an extreme illustration. Some of you might want a kilo of crack. God's not going to meet that. What would you even want that for? That's not good. That's not God. So that doesn't cover the anything. Praise God.
Amen.
I want you to understand. The scripture said, we read in John chapter 14, verses 13 and 14, it says, whatsoever you shall ask in my name. Say my name.
My name.
You see, my name, first of all, it deals with the authority that we have to go before the throne of grace with boldness because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Now, because of what Jesus has done, I don't have to go through some Levitical priest who has to kill a couple of animals and put them on the altar and have a cookout and a steak fry in order for me to be able to have my sins forgiven. I don't have to give my prayer request to the Levitical priest anymore. Now, I have access to the throne because of the blood of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So that's in my name means that only through the name of Jesus can I expect to get any prayer request answered because Jesus is the only one who's lived a sinless, perfect life. Praise God.
Amen.
But in my name not only means talking about the authority that I have to go before the throne, but it's also talking about the character of the thing I'm asking for. You see, when I ask God for something, in the name of Jesus, is it something that Jesus would be able to ask for? Could you imagine Jesus asking for that? Think about it. Would Jesus ask for a kilo of cocaine? Would Jesus ask God to bless him with enough money to give himself a pint of Mad Dog 2020? No. For those of you who are so innocent, Mad Dog 2020 is MD 2020. It's a harsh wine that they used to sell. I don't know if they still sell it. I've been saved for a long time now. So, but, you know, people used to drink that and they get drunk right away. So, but when Jesus asked for those type of things, the answer is no. Now, would Jesus ask for a new car? Of course he would. That's right, exactly. Back in the days of Jesus, they rode donkeys. Jesus, when he needed a donkey, he got himself a donkey. Praise God.
Amen. Yes.
Amen. You need a new car? Praise God. There's nothing wrong with a new car. You got to get to work. You don't want the thing breaking down on you on the road. You need to drive people to church? Say, drive people to church.
Drive people to church.
All right. You need to pick some people up in that new car. When God blesses you, don't say, well, got that new car smell. I ain't having none of these funky people coming in my car. No. You need to pick some people up and bring them here to church. Glory to God. So they can learn what you learned. So, check your motive for wanting the thing that you want. Oh, my goodness. 8 steps and I ain't got much time. And we still on the first one. Lord have mercy. We'll continue some of this next week. So, but look at that. The desire of the righteous is only what? It's only good. Proverbs 11:23. The desire of the righteous is only good, but the expectation of the wicked is wrath. So if you are a righteous person, then the only desire you will have are good desires. Your motives for wanting things from God will be right. You can get anything you want from him. As long as you, your motive is the right motive. Praise Jesus. Amen. How many of y'all are encouraged by that?
Amen.
Not many of you are encouraged. I'm encouraged. Maybe some of y'all just got too many wrong motives. All right. The second thing to get whatever you want from God is to search the scriptures and or seek the Lord to be sure that your desire is in line with what God desires for you to have. So, you can get anything you want from God, but you need to search the scriptures to make sure that what you're wanting, what you're desiring, is in line with what God has. That goes right in line with motive. Somebody might say, well, how do I know whether my motive is right or wrong? That is why you need to search the scriptures. That's why you need to get into the Word of God so that you can know whether the thing you want is the right thing and whether the motive that you have for wanting it is the right motive. Amen?
Amen.
It's important to search the scriptures. Because, see, one of the things in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, we learn that, so then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing how? Come on, y'all. Let's read that together. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How is faith developed in me so that I can receive from God in prayer? By the word of God. I need to know what God's word says. You see, my faith can only go as far as my knowledge of what his will is for my life. I can't have faith in God to give me something if I don't know if it's his will for me to give it. You see, some people have this idea about trusting God as some generic thing. Well, I don't know what God is going to do. I'm just going to trust him. No, trust and faith are targets. They target things. It gets a knowledge of what exactly God wants to do, and then it begins to pray about that thing. For example, when I pray for my president, you know, currently he is President Barack Obama. I know what to pray about. I don't just pray, well, God, just bless him, whatever. You know, there's certain things I pray. I pray for protection over his life because, you know, I don't want to see, you know, regardless of whether, you know, I disagree with a lot of his policies, but I certainly don't want to see the man get shot. Amen. I want God's protection over him. Especially the first black president. My goodness. That's not. I don't want the first black president to go out like that. Man. Lord have mercy. But, you know, I may not agree with a lot of his policies, but I will continue to pray so that whatever I feel that he is doing that's not in line with the word of God, I begin to pray and ask God to speak to him, surround him with people. You know, these are the things I want for my president. There's nothing more that I would love for my president to get on TV and say, I love the Lord now, and I'm going to do everything I can to stop the abortions and to stop the homosexual marriages. I would love to see him do that, and I'm going to keep praying. Praise God. If it never happens, glory to God, but I know I'm praying a righteous thing. Praise God.
Amen.
You continue to pray for your president. You know, and don't criticize, you know, don't waste your time criticizing the president and Congress. Pray for them. I mean, yes, you can speak out and say what you disagree with, but don't be calling the person names. It really bothers me when I see people get on there and call him Barack. When I see them call him just Obama. No, he's President Obama. Amen?
Amen.
You call him, you respect that. I don't care if you disagree with him or not, and I do disagree with him, but you respect that office. You respect that title. Praise God. Because God is the one who established that office. He's the one who established that title. All authority comes from God. So when you begin to pray for people, you pray and have no animosity towards them because they don't know what they're doing. We're in the world. But see, that's why you shouldn't be trusting men. You trust God. So search the scriptures. You'll know how to pray for each other. You'll know how to pray for one another. You'll know how to pray for the things that you want. We've already said that there are over 7,420 promises God has made to men. That's a lot of promises, ain't it? That is a lot of promises. Now, there's a lot of people who take this scripture right here, 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. And instead of understanding this passage of scripture as one that teaches, you faith, that is to build your faith, it actually causes a lot of people to doubt. Let's read that scripture. It says, and this is the confidence. Say confidence.
Confidence.
This is the confidence that we have in Him. That if we ask anything, say anything.
Anything.
Anything according to His will, He heareth us. And whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of Him. See, we can ask anything as long as it's according to His will. Now, some people think that's a limitation. No, it's not. You see, you can know the will of God even before you go before Him in prayer. In most cases, you can know the will of God. You can know the will of God because the Bible, the Word of God, is the revelation of His will for your life. It's the primary revelation of His will for your life. Most things, you don't have to guess concerning the will of God when you know it's right here. It's not God's will for you to live in sin, is it? You don't even have to guess that. Well, God, should I go and sleep with that woman down the street? And you're a woman? Of course you know that's not God's will. Why would you even guess at that? Now, if you see in Scripture that God wants you to have certain things, for example, God's will is for your health. He wants you to be healthy. He loves you to have a healthy body. You don't have to guess, well, is it God's will to heal me? You just begin to say, hey, the Bible says that He forgives all my sins and He heals all my diseases. The Bible says that if I am sick, I should call for the elders of the church and they will anoint me with oil and they will pray over me in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick and the Lord shall raise him up. I begin to say scriptures like that. When sickness attacks my family, I begin to quote Psalm 91. The sickness shall not come near my dwelling. If I serve the Lord, then He will bless my bread and my water, and He takes sickness away from the midst of me. I begin to say the promises of God. I begin to speak them out. I begin to say, thank you, Father. See, because I already know the will of God. And my faith is developed because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. My father will not go back on his word. He's got too much integrity. How about your father? You got the same father I got.
Amen.
Amen. Now, when we look at Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 36 and 7, we see an example of this. It says in verse 36, then the heathen that are left round about, you shall know that I, the Lord, built the ruined places and planted that was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken it, and I will do it. Say this with me. Say, I, the Lord,
have spoken it,
and I
will do it.
God says if He spoke it, He will do it. Thus saith the Lord God, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. I will increase them with men like a flock. God says, I will. Wherever you see a promise that says, I will, you can be sure that that is the will of the Lord for you. That is what He wants for you. All you need to do is go through the Bible and you will find a lot of I wills and I shalls. I quoted you one earlier. James chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. The one that says that the Lord shall raise him up. When you're sick, the Lord shall raise you up. That's the Lord shall. That's one of His promises. I will or I shall. But my God will supply all my need. My God will. That's His will. To supply all your need. According to His riches and glory through Christ Jesus. So, you can get whatever you want from God. Just simply find out what the scriptures say. Now, there might be some things in scriptures that you just that just doesn't cover your exact area. I mean, you know, you might be called to be a missionary to Hawaii. You know, say those heathen over there in that nice, wonderful sun, suffer for the Lord. Suffer for the Lord on that beach. You know, but you have not gotten a clear answer. Because you can't find in the Bible, Troy, thou shalt go to Hawaii and be a missionary for me. So that's when I had to begin to seek the Lord. Well, God has even a promise for that. In James chapter 1, beginning in verse 5, it says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And look at this. This talk, the generosity of God that giveth to all men liberally. Say liberally.
Liberally.
And upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. God says that he will give it to you generously. He will give you his wisdom generously. And he won't get mad at you when you come to him. He's not going to upbraid you and say, oh, what you doing coming to me that stupid question for? You know, like some of us do to our kids. Daddy, what does this mean? That's a stupid question. Look it up. You got the internet? Look it up. Go to Wiki. No. God doesn't do that. He ain't like us.
Amen.
God gives his wisdom out generously, liberally, and he will not upbraid you for it. So if you need guidance on anything concerning your life or your situation, simply ask God. God speaks to his people today. God speaks to me just about every single day. Now, I'm not one of those who go around talking about, the Lord told me this, the Lord told me that. And then when they really need something from the Lord, then all of a sudden they can't hear from him now. I'm telling you, I've met them kind of people. I've met so many of them. Yeah, the Lord told me. The Lord said. And then they're in trouble. Troy, I don't know what's going on. Well, what did the Lord tell you? I haven't heard from him. You hear from him every other time? Good grief. Well, God is willing to talk to you. You just got to listen. Praise God.
Amen.
You learn to develop your spirit. See, the reason why many of us don't hear from God is because we don't take time in prayer. We don't take time, and I'm still having to work on this too, learning to just be solid before the Lord. See, me, many times I do all the talking, you know, telling God what I want, what I need, but sometimes you need to be solid. Sometimes you need to fast. Sometimes, if you don't hear from God, go on a fast. Cut some food off for a while. God has spoken to me many times during a fast. Some of you need to receive the baptism with the Holy Spirit. You know, sometimes when you can develop your spirit by just praying in other tongues.
Amen.
And then when you do, you're better able to hear from God. I'm not saying you need to have tongues in order to do that, because you can develop your spirit in English, but I'm telling you, speaking in tongues, it helps you a lot more. I'm just telling you that. We're going to talk more about that. I told you I'm going to be bold about some of these things. Don't y'all leave me. All right. Let me see. We'll just take a quick moment with this one. We'll probably deal with this more next week. But number three, recognize that it is God's intense desire to give us the desires of our heart when our requests are prayed with the right motives and in line with his revealed will. It is God's intense desire to give you things. It's his intense desire. And as long as your motives line up, as long as they're in line with his will for your life, he will do anything for you. You know that? God wants to do anything for you. He wants to do a lot of stuff. And as a matter of fact, God is such a giving God. He is such a generous God that it actually breaks his heart when he's not able to do things for you. When your motives are not right, when you're sinning and you're doing the wrong thing, it hurts him not to be able to do it. See, some of y'all thinking that God is so stingy that, well, he just waits for me to sin so he don't have to do anything for me anymore. No! God is waiting for you to do right so that he can do so many things for you. And Deuteronomy chapter 5, let's turn there. I don't have that up on the screen, but let's turn there. Deuteronomy chapter 5. We're going to look at this one and one more scripture, and then we'll close out. Are you getting anything out of this?
Amen.
Praise God. I'm glad a few of you are. All right. Deuteronomy chapter 5.
Amen.
We're drawing to a close here. My pages are stuck together. You can tell I don't use this particular Bible that much. Now look at verse 29. Deuteronomy chapter 5 verse 29 says, "Oh, that there were such an heart in them, that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever." God is like, oh, I just want them to have a heart that would fear me. If they would do this, then I know it would go well for them. I could be able to bless them. His heart aches because he is being hindered in being able to bless his people. He wants to do it, but many of us are keeping him from doing it. How many, did you know that you are able to stop an all-powerful, almighty God from blessing you? Yes, you have the ability to do that. Not because you're all-powerful, but because he has so much integrity that he cannot violate his word. Now, many times he does a lot of things for us out of mercy. Oh, if it wasn't for the mercies of God, I'd be in trouble. You don't earn anything from God. But there's many things, but he can only stop short of so many things because he can't do certain things if your motives are incorrect. And especially if the thing is not in line with his will. Let's look at another scripture in Psalm 81. He says, oh, verse 13, Psalm 81, verse 13. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel walked in my ways. He said, oh, basically said, if only they had done this. If only they had listened to me. If only they had walked in the way I told them to do. And then verse 14, he says, I should have subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries. The haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto him, but their time should have endured forever. He should have fed them also with the finest of the wheat and with honey out of the rock. Should I have satisfied thee? In other words, God is saying, if they had just listened to me, if they had just walked in my ways, I would have done this for them. But because they refused to do that, he couldn't do it. He couldn't give them what he wanted to give them. There's so many other scriptures I could show you that talks about this same thing. Matter of fact, I got some references up there. One of them was Deuteronomy 5:29. We read that earlier. But there's so many things God wants to do. I mean, Jesus in Matthew 23:37, he goes to Israel. He said, oh, I would have gathered you like a mother hen gathers its chicklings or whatever have you. He said, but you would not let me. You wouldn't let me do it. It was breaking his heart. God's intent, I just show you these scriptures because I want you to see, it is his intense desire to bless you. He longs to do it. This should actually encourage you. God wants to give you what you want. Do you know that? Mm-hmm. And if you begin to understand that he longs to bless you, then that will develop your faith. And you won't sit there. When you're going through trials, when the prayer hasn't been answered right away, you won't sit there and say, well, I guess God didn't want me to have that anyway. No. It is God's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It pleases him to give you the kingdom. He wants to do it for you. It's his delight to do it for you. Delight thyself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. He wants to do it, y'all. If he didn't want to do it, he wouldn't have told you. The fact that he said it shows you that he wants to do it. Praise God.
Amen.
Stand to your feet. We'll continue with the rest of this next week. I encourage you, for those of you who can, please do not miss out on any of these lessons. If you really want to be able to get what you really want from God, let's go to God in prayer. Let's just begin to pray for a moment. Just lift your hands and begin to praise him. Just begin to worship him. Tell him. Say thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Say I bless your name.
I bless your name.
Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, we worship you, Lord Jesus. We magnify your name. Is there anybody here who has not yet, all heads bowed, all eyes closed, just for a moment? Is there anyone here who has not yet accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior? You've heard this message, and you know, wait a minute, I'm not even in the kingdom yet. I've never even given my life to Christ. It's God's intense longing and desire to save you. He wants to save you. All you have to do is receive him. Make a decision to receive him as your personal Savior and Lord. And he'll do it right away, immediately. Is there anybody in here today who would like to come to know Jesus Christ as the Savior? Lift up your hand. Is there anyone in here? Lift up your hand. If not, you may be seated for just one more moment.